Coming up on today's show, we're going to go through some of the latest Disney news and rumors, and I have a trip report to discuss. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 424, Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined today by John.
Hurry back. You'll be back.
That's something I watched recently that you guys have seen. I watched Haunted Mansion. And what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good movie.
I was surprised in like how good it was. It was good.
What was interesting about it was the previews didn't give very much away about what story they were telling. Other than it was about the Hatbox Ghost, obviously. Yeah. It was the centralized character. But the acting was well done by all parties involved.
Even Owen Wilson, right?
I was concerned about him.
Yeah. I was surprised.
And who is Ben? What was his name? I don't think I've seen him in anything before. Of course, I don't watch very many movies these days. So,
Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What else has he done?
What's the show he's in? He's in...
He's in a TV show. Okay.
Well, he's doing a lot of movies. He was in Atlanta, the TV show. Okay. That was something else, though. He's in, movies like Get Out. What's some other...
I'm not as big of a moviegoer, obviously, in recent years, so...
Yeah.
Most of the movies I go to see, especially at the theaters, are because of my kids, so... Yeah.
He's really good, though. Even Tiffany Haddish, I thought she'd be kind of cartoony, silly, but she was actually a good character, too. Danny DeVito was good in it. Of course, Rosario Dawson.
How old is Danny DeVito now?
He's probably, 70s? Late 70s? 78, according to this. 78.
I haven't seen any statistics yet, but I have a feeling it's doing well on Disney Plus, just like the previous two movies they put out this summer.
Hopefully. It didn't do well at the box office, but...
Well, the other two I'm mentioning didn't do well initially, but they actually gained traction at the box office over time.
Yeah.
I think Haunted Mansion was released at a bad time,
yeah.
Truthfully.
Is Dial of Destiny out yet on Disney Plus?
No. As a matter of fact, no one knows the release date or when it's going to be. I know that it's going to be out on
DVD,
4K, Blu-ray. UHD, and yeah, all that good stuff.
December
the 4th or something like that. It was early December.
Yeah. I guess they're trying desperately to get some money back on that one then before they put it on streaming.
It looks that way. And they probably make more money off of Blu-ray, DVD, what have you. But.
Right.
The people that were going to wait for this to be on Disney Plus are still going to wait. And that is if they decide to keep the subscription after the price increase.
I can't imagine how many people are going to buy that on DVD. But
did you hear the last part I said, though? I said, assuming that they're going to keep their subscription after the price increase.
Well, right. Good point. Speaking of, I think I'm up for a new role on Disney Plus again.
Very soon, I will be.
I think next month, I think.
I'm in the Hulu package, though, and the Hulu package is going up significantly.
Really? I've just
I'm paying
the
normal,
whatever.
I'm paying $65, and it's going to go up to $80-something. I mean, it's ridiculous. So speaking of price increases.
Yeah, it's a good segue into, as per typical Disney news lately, there's one really good story surrounded by eight negative ones. They packaged it well by saying, hey... We're giving you this cool thing.
That was first. That's what they led with.
And then, by the way, prices are hiking everywhere. Don't look at that.
It's like, hey, look at this. Park hopping's returning. We're also raising prices. But that's good prices.
Yeah. But hey, park hopping. Aren't you excited about park hopping? Be really excited about park hopping so that we can tell you about the other stuff.
It's like, you're going to get park hopping back as early as 2024. But you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, you're going to pay dearly. Well, what should we start with? The good news, yes. Park hopping will be anytime you want, starting January 24th, January 9th, 2024. That's what I was trying to say. So January 9th, this is something we were hoping for, but we weren't sure it was coming anytime soon. But thankfully, along with not needing reservations, didn't they say that too?
Well, they said that before, but I thought that annual pass holders still had to have them. They haven't taken that away yet. They didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about that, but you can make a reservation and then just
hop,
walk in to one and then leave,
I guess,
and then go to another one.
So I guess there's really no point in having the reservations, but they didn't actually say those were going away, so I don't know.
Maybe eventually that will happen, but yes.
If you're going to open up park hopping, it doesn't really make sense to have it, because an annual pass holder could literally just check in and like not even go in the park. They could just like go up there and tap and leave if they want it.
Yeah, they'd be like, hey, where are you going? Great. You're not coming in?
Nope,
I'm going to Magic Kingdom.
I mean, you could. Now, the odds that there's going to be a park that you can't get a reservation for is not very likely, except for the super busy days.
Yeah, I imagine they could still not let you in if it was like New Year's Eve and Magic Kingdom was full or something.
Something.
I guess APs would probably be the first to be rejected.
I was going to say, and there's nothing that says that they can't put restrictions on as they see fit, to be honest.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's all at their discretion. They're the owners. They can do whatever they want.
Right. But let's stay positive on this one part anyway. So it used to be 2 p.m., which was a huge devaluing of park hopper tickets and annual passes, because that was part of the, and we talked about this last week about, is park hopper worth it or something like that? And the answer is currently no.
It's still not.
It's not worth it.
It's still not.
Because, I mean, unless you are trying to squeeze in a trip into 3 days or 2 days and you want to visit more than two parks, but even still, you have to wait till after 2 or 1:47 p.m. to be exact to get into another park. It's like that. Why? That's like half the day already. So,
well, here's the thing.
It's good that they're getting rid of
it. It's good that they're getting rid of it, just because, you know, you don't really have any restrictions put on you. That's fine. But the average person hopped maybe once a day, if once a day.
Yeah.
That alone made the ticket difference between park hopper and non-park hopper not a good value, really.
Right, it devalued it quite a bit.
Well, so, it still is, because you just, the ability, like, what to actually take advantage of it and didn't do stuff, it's, even with it wide open, it's still, it, the gap needs to be more narrow between the two, in my opinion.
Yeah. I like the freedom it gives you, which an AP should have.
Right.
Which is, I just want to wake up and let me go to Hollywood today instead of Magic Kingdom. I don't have to predetermine if I just want to change my mind. Like, hey, the crowd level seems high. We did that once at, this is probably the last time I remember doing a park hop like that. We showed up at Magic Kingdom and it was like kind of busy and we were like, let's go to Epcot. So we did. And that's the last time I remember really taking advantage of.
Did it work though?
Of that. Yeah, I think it was better. I think we had a better time at Epcot.
A better time.
But that was like 2019.
Yeah, a better time, but was it slower? I mean, you could have had a better time just by walking into La Cava.
Right.
In your
Here's
case.
The other problem with that, though, nowadays. Well, yes, I definitely La Cava. True that. But the other issue with this is it's Genie Plus is now park-based unless you buy the most expensive multi-park version every day. So you're going to spend more because, like, if I want to have the freedom of, I may go to Hollywood, I may go to Epcot, let me go to Animal Kingdom, then I got to buy the multi-park Genie Plus, which is always going to be the highest price one.
Yeah.
So you have to buy it if you want the option of jumping around and riding.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
That's not going to change, right? Of course not.
Mm-mm.
Well, apparently for annual pass holders, Disney prices park hopping at $50, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, because the annual pass increased by $50.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's the other story. Yeah. So the price hikes, lots of them. Parking went up. for the parks. $25 to $30 now. That's a big jump.
Apparently five was the magic number for most everything.
Yeah, like everything's up $5. Prices of food went up. That was another one. Food and snacks and things like that went up. And the prefix menus got an increase as well, which I'm like, that's the most frustrating thing is the fact that they're keeping these prefix menus at so many of the best restaurants, and it's really frustrating.
Memory Maker?
I get why, though. Yeah, Memory Maker went up to $185 from $169.
That's for advanced purchase. If you do it post, it's $210.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And one day is now $75.
Wow. That's insane.
One day is, if you're doing it for one day, you must really just be spending just one day ever, like your first day ever in Disney World, and you're only spending one day. Because $75, for one day is, I don't know what to call it. Not worth it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All of the tours went up too. Behind the Seeds tour could be as high as $45 now, and it was $35 recently.
So depending on when. Right.
Right. Variable pricing on that too. Keys to the Kingdom tour could be as high as $150 now. It was previously $114. The Wild Africa track is $219 to $229. Used to just be $199.
Wow.
Like, good Lord.
One that popular? That's the only reason why I can think that would increase it that much.
Yeah, that's the one I see people doing a lot when I'm on the safari.
That's true.
Almost every time I see them there, so crazy. Food and beverage, things went up little increments, but still significant enough to be annoying.
We've got to pay for that $60 billion in expenditures over the next decade, right?
Because Disney Plus ain't doing it, so that's why.
I find it hard to believe that streaming was ever going to make the parks, was ever going to fund the parks, is what I'm trying to say. I would just find that hard to believe.
Did you say that pre-show or during the show that the mini golf and water park increased too?
Did I?
You said it at some point, but I don't know if we talked about it before we were recording.
I think the water park was up. They were up $5 for an adult and a child. So it went from 69 to 74. 69 to 74 for an adult and 63 to 68 for a child.
Well, so, what a geographical oddity. $5 from everywhere.
Ain't this place a geographical anomaly? What is it? 3 days from everything?
2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks?
I think it was two weeks
from everything? Okay, maybe that's what it was. Something like that.
I don't carry Dapper Dan. I carry FOP.
FOP.
Speaking of Flight of Passage, the Lightning Lane prices went up. No, actually, I don't know. Hopefully, the individual Lightning Lane prices didn't.
They can go up whenever. You don't have to have an announcement for that.
Yeah. They just vary the price by day, too.
By the way, the mini golf went up $5, too, but I don't remember what that price was.
Yeah.
So
you can still get the vouchers, though, for mini golf, can't you?
There's that. And I think there are certain tickets that it's included in, right? So
something like that. Yeah, it's worth doing. If you have a spare,
the water parks
hours
and more ticket, right?
Yeah,
that could and be you it. Get what? Do you, what? How much of a discount does AP get? They used to get something on it.
That's what I was trying to recall. I thought we got I know. Doesn't DVC get a discount?
Perhaps
anyway, somebody does.
DVC should get a lot.
Yeah, they should get way more, but than they actually do get. Anyway, the other thing that I'll get into in my story. My trip report part is...
This is his story.
Oh, wow. Is Genie Plus went to its highest price point in several months during the Indigenous People's Day weekend, Sunday and Monday, and the app broke. That was Sunday. So immediately... Sundial. So immediately after jumping the price, it broke. And they were giving refunds to a lot of people, but I didn't. I didn't get a refund. I'll explain on that later, but yeah, it sucked.
okay.
I'll just put it that way. Genie Plus.
You'll elaborate.
Yeah. Well, experience. Okay. It was terrible.
Oh, one we missed. New variable pricing model introduced at higher prices for the dessert parties.
Variable pricing for dessert
parties. That's what it says.
I mean, golly, Disney, come on. They're just like...
They're doing it because they can, and they don't feel like there's ever a breaking point. And they might be right. There might not be, but...
Well, they keep selling out all these parties and after
right.
hours events and
people, I mean,
Jollywood nights.
People literally just keep throwing money. So,
yeah, cool. I was Candlelight Procession. I did want to talk about that too, real quick. We're jumping all over the place.
The Brendan Fraser,
yeah, he's new this year. I thought Eva Longoria did it before, but they say she's new on here. But I thought she had done it before.
She anyway, may have,
maybe she hasn't. But yeah, Brendan Fraser is probably the biggest name, you know, Oscar winner, Brendan Fraser.
Interesting.
Is doing it this year, December 12th to the 14th. And of course, some of the old favorites, Neil Patrick Harris, December 6th to the 8th. That is during the Every Ride weekend or week that they're doing for Give Kids the World. So... If you want to go see Neil Patrick Harris and do the Everride thing, that's a good time to do it. The Candlelight Processional Dining Package is available starting October 17th. So as you're hearing this, get on it if you're wanting to see any of these people. Who else on here? Like John Stamos is the 3rd to the 5th. So that's a back-to-back like heavyweights. John Stamos and Neil Patrick Harris. December 3rd to the 8th is like the best week ever. But then the 12th to the 14th is Brendan Fraser, followed by Eva Longoria. So that's a pretty good one. Sterling K. Brown, which I thought he did it last year too, but he's new according to this. Jordan Fisher is going to do it. Stephen Curtis Chapman is always around. He's always done it. Lisa Ling has always done it. And Margaret's going to do it this year. I was like, she's still alive?
Dang.
And I was,
yes.
But I
yes,
wasn't sure. Is. I was like, really? And Margaret? Dang.
Yeah.
That's cool.
She is.
That's great. Bye-bye, Birdie.
Is that she's what she's going to sing?
Maybe.
Do you think she can still sing that?
Hopefully she's just going to tell the story
of
baby Jesus. But that's what I would hope she does.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Bye Bye Birdie, so.
Well, that's all I could think of. She's in, like, tons of stuff, but that's the one that came to mind.
I mean, she was in Elvis movies.
Right, I remember
that. She was in Grumpy Old Man.
She was in a lot. Oh, that's right. You're right. Good point. I do remember.
She wasn't exactly a spring chicken then, and that was, like, 30 years ago. So, oh,
that's why I thought, like, dang, she's still going? She's got to be in her 80s, right?
I don't know.
Probably. At least.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pretty young in the
she was
what in the 60s,
yeah, but she was still reasonably young in the Grumpy Old Man, really. She was probably like in her 50s, maybe 60.
Let's see, yeah, she's 82.
Okay, so yeah, she was just barely in her 50s when she did Grumpy Old Man.
She was born in 1941. Oh, and also, they're offering a same day. This is going to be interesting how they pull this off, a same day dining package. If you order from Regal Eagle, so a quick service has joined the Candlelight Processional Dining Packages, and it's by far the cheapest option at $41 a person. So you get Regal Eagle and basically not preferred, but guaranteed seating at the Candlelight Processional. But it's same day only, and it's, I guess, first come, first serve, maybe, or like, there. I don't know how that's going to work, but that'll be interesting to find out. Spice Road Table is also on the list now this year. It's the second cheapest option at $55.
I thought and Spice then, Road Table wasn't even operating yet.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's. I saw people eating there.
Really?
Yeah.
I just know that ever since Disney took over Morocco, right? I was thinking that nothing... It had not been, like, the food options had not been
open. Well, Marrakesh stopped.
Yeah.
And it's still not operating, which I actually really enjoyed Marrakesh. Need 2 tickets to Marrakesh. I really do. I wish I could.
Yes.
Anyway, Garden Grill's on there, Coral Reef, Beer
Garden. There's only one place you could sell it.
Marrakesh. I need 2 tickets. Did he say 2 tickets?
I don't know. Why would he need 2 tickets?
I think
he just said a ticket. He wouldn't need two.
Who's going to go with him? Maybe that's what it was.
He didn't have anybody to go with him at that point. Someone out there already knows what we're talking about, but still.
Yeah, maybe somebody does. All right, so I think that's basically, was there another story?
Well, I just came across something that it just made me think back. Sid Kahunga's, are you familiar with that? It's basically the store that when you first come in Hollywood Studios, it's to the left.
Oh, that little, yeah. The little.
Well, it's been called that from the beginning, right? But it's basically now a My Magic Plus service counter and PhotoPass sales location.
Yeah.
But when it was first there, it actually sold movie memorabilia. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I do remember this.
It actually receives a new marquee is basically what they were talking about with this one. But, you know, back when it first opened, it got me to thinking about that, how it had supposedly authentic movie memorabilia. I don't know how authentic some of it was, but, I mean, apparently some high-priced stuff in there. It even used to have authentic autographs from Walt Disney that were priced well over $1,000. And then 1989 was pretty pricey. If they had still priced it at $1,000 today, it probably would have gone easily.
Oh, yeah. For today.
Price would have probably gone way up for Walt's signature.
For sure.
But anyway, in 2013, it became a My Magic Plus service counter. I don't know. I guess the fact that it still has its original name is always pretty cool. I do recall having to go in there. Now, when this first came up and looked at it, I do recall having to go in there because I think we're about to miss or had missed, just missed, something like that, our time to build the droid. So I had to kind of go in there and see if they would still take us. and they did.
Right.
So,
well, good.
Yeah. But that's what made me think of that. I just think it's pretty cool that the place at least still has the same name it did back in 1989. So,
yeah, it's very rare that anything still has the same as the original.
Right.
I think
they changed it. Yeah, see, they changed the sign for it to say, looks like Tinseltown Photo, or was that what it had most recently been saying?
It may have been.
I think that was they just changed it to. Yeah. I can't remember the specifics on the sign, other than Sid's name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I'm glad it's back in action.
With a new sign, basically. That's all it was.
Yeah.
All right. So, somebody went to Disney World.
Indeed.
Wasn't
eight
me.
People went to Disney World with me.
Not I.
Seven plus me makes eight, yes.
I think I have my math right.
You had some trouble with your adding, old man. Another movie reference.
Okay. I don't know what it is, though. What is this? I don't remember that one.
It was one of the Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns.
Oh, was it?
I forgot which one. Few dollars more.
So if it was one of the spaghetti westerns, it was out of sync.
Thought I had a little trouble with my adding. It's all right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So yes, I went to Disney with some friends of ours. Family of four. So two families of four.
Okay.
Eight people.
So we're still doing math. Okay.
Yes, and I'm about to add up how much we spent on Genie Plus and individual lightning lanes because it was their first time for their kids. Their kids were 7 and 4, so it was their first time, and so they wanted to do as much as possible. And I was like, well, okay. And so I was in charge of just, you know, buying all the stuff and taking care of that up front. And when I looked at how much we spent, it was about $1,300 just on Genie Plus and individual lightning lanes for eight people over 4 days. Now, we actually left after three, and they did Hollywood Studios just me and them, essentially, even though I wasn't there. Long story, but I helped them pull lightning lanes on the Hollywood Studios day. And so only five of us did Genie Plus that day. It was still, at the end of 4 days, $1,300 at least, somewhere in that ballpark. $1,300 we wouldn't have had to spend in 2019 on top of all the other price hikes. So it's starting to, yeah, it's like, okay, that, to quote another movie, somewhere between ouch and boing. When you,
this is the movie quote episode, apparently.
Exactly. Just made me think of that. And Genie Plus had problems every single day except the Epcot day. It was the only day I didn't have any issues with it. So, Genie Plus. It's expensive and it doesn't work very well. Still, say what you will about FastPass Plus, it worked better. It was more reliable. And sure, there are complaints about it. You know, you had to book, you could book in advance and people, stuff was gone because, you know, people staying long, things, you know, whatever. There was all kinds of problems, but it worked so much better than Genie. I complained to a guest experience a couple of different times about issues with it, but again, they're slowly improving it. They have Dash, what's his name from Zootopia, working on it? Flash is working on it. Right. So in a couple of years, it'll be, you know, where it should be today, probably, thanks to Flash. But anyway, he's obviously their IT department.
Yeah.
Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash. That was the line, right?
Something like that. Yes, that was it. What did you think it was?
Dash. Because I just remember that line at the end of the movie. It was like, Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash. What did he say?
He was the fastest one.
Nick World. Anyway. Yeah, and
I still love that joke, especially when it comes to the DMV.
Priscilla is probably working with him, too. Yeah. Hey, Priscilla.
I still love that joke, especially with it being talking about the DMV. But anyway.
Yeah. That was great. Zootopia is a great movie. Anyway. Okay, so first day, Magic Kingdom, I was on at 7 a.m. on the dot. I get the Tron boarding group, no problem. I went to book a lightning lane and nothing.
No lightning lanes?
Yeah, it would just be like, hey, let's add a few more magical touches and fail. And that went on, I think I was messaging you guys about that. It was like 20 minutes, 27 minutes before I could book anything. And then by then, you know, it's like the times start going all over the place because people frantically are trying to book everything. But it was fine. I had to rearrange the schedule a little bit because I didn't get the time I wanted for the first lightning lane because, anyway, long story. But I'm not going to go detail by detail of this trip. I'm going to kind of do it differently. So, yeah, that sucked. the next day, Epcot, it was fine. 7 a.m., got the boarding group for Guardians and then booked Test Track. Got it early, you know, 9:30. Pretty good. For the My Disney Experience app, not terrible. But then the Animal Kingdom. You know, that's when the price went up, but it was down for 2.5 hours, I think, at least that morning. And so I was literally trying to get to the park and check for lightning lanes every second as fast as I could the entire time. From 7 a.m. until at least, I think it was 9:30. I was just like, I used like half my phone battery just trying. And then when we finally got to Animal Kingdom, you know, our friends wanted to do some pictures. So I was like, great, do some pictures. I'm going to stand in line at the guest experience because it was a long line. Because it was long lines everywhere, apparently. Because I was hearing on X that people were getting refunds because, you know, they were just down for so long. And I was like third and left in line. It was probably 15 people in the line I found. And I was down to like third left. And then it just started working because I never stopped trying. And I was talking to the lady in front of me. And I was like, oh, I just was able to book something. And then she tried and she was able to book something. And then I was like, well, I'm going to stay in line and see if they'll do anything for me. And they gave us an anytime extra lightning lane instead of a refund. Well, they kind of, I think they would have given me a refund if I pushed the issue, but obviously I didn't want that. So I would rather keep it, which I don't know if they were giving refunds and letting you keep it.
Like they were just, letting you use it for free.
Right, exactly. Or just refund it and you don't get to use it either. I don't know.
So you didn't want to risk that.
Yeah. Basically. So I just was like, what can you do for us? And so they just said, we'll give you an extra bonus, like, anytime use. Of course, the worst park for that is Animal Kingdom because there's, 8 or 7 Lightning Lane rides there. That's it or whatever. There's like...
Wow, there's that many?
Yeah, I know, right? I was trying to think. I mean, that you could use an anytime on too. It's even less because Flight of Passage is not included. Monday was even worse in the sense that, yes, it took 5 minutes maybe in the morning for me to book something, but I was able to book. It was fine. And then the rest of the day was just, it was awful. Like trying to pull lightning lanes, trying to modify anything. I got a few, but Slinky Dog didn't really work out. So there was a few that we just didn't get to do, but they did most everything. So anyway, let me go through a few highlights here. Magic Kingdom, it was a party day. That was our first day. It was that Friday. And it was very low crowds, which is typical of a party day. It's low crowds. So it's a good time to go if you want to just go in the morning. The wait times were pretty low. We didn't really need lightning lanes for everything that we did, but we saved a few seconds on a few rides. Ironically, the one I thought I was just like, let's just get on and we won't need a lightning ring for, was Mermaid. It ended up being about a 10-minute wait when we probably could have just walked right in with a lightning ring. But anyway, Tron was a big hit with our friends there. Of course, I think the highlights for Magic Kingdom for them is really Tron and the Cinderella's Royal Table in the morning. And then they really enjoyed California Grill. They did California Grill post park close, which was 6 p.m. that night for the party. And of course, by 4 p.m., the park started getting a lot more crowded because the party folks showed up. But it was fine. It was a good day. We stayed till 6. We stayed right until the end. Did everything except Jungle Cruise. I was pretty much the only ride we missed was Jungle Cruise, I think. So
you didn't get to do it at all?
No, it was really because it wasn't a priority for them.
Oh, okay.
They wanted to do Peter Pan. That was a big one. Space Mountain. And, of course, like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was a big hit. And Big Thunder and Pirates and things like that. But Jungle Cruise was kind of like, if we can get it. But by the end of the day, it was gone. Lightning Lane, for sure was gone. And it was still like a hour wait by the time the park closed. So we didn't work that one in. But other than that, I mean, we pretty much did all that. We did a couple of character meets and things like that. So it was good. It was a fun day. They enjoyed it. They were tired. Got them up pretty early for Epcot the next day. They were staying at the Swan Reserve. And so they took the boat to Epcot. So we met them at Epcot at Rope. Actually, it was slightly before Rope, because of the early park hours. And of course we got right on Guardians. Guardians was a big hit, of course. I asked them after the trip what was their favorites, and I think they each had different favorites. So this is kind of, they had been probably 20 years ago, the two parents. The kids obviously hadn't been before, and so I'll get to that later, what their favorites were. But Guardians was, of course, in the top five, what you would expect.
And we will be right back.
Ah, teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her own car? Mowing lawns and getting paid. She'll go from washing your car to flexing with her own. How? With Greenlight, the money app for families. Together, you can navigate the world of earning, saving, and investing. Because when you teach her to be smart about money, she'll go far. Invest in your best investment. Sign up today at greenlight.com.
And now, back to the show.
The Journey of Water was having a soft open during this. It's officially open this week as you're listening to this. But it was doing soft opens via virtual queue. So after park opened, I was able to join. Once I was in the park, of course, I was able to join virtual queue. And within like 30 minutes, our group was called. And I didn't even try to get, I think I got group 8 out of, I don't know how many they were doing. But within like 30 minutes, our group was called. And of course, at that point, we hadn't even gotten on Guardians yet. And then we had Test Track after that. And so we were late to our virtual queue for Journey of Water by at least 20 minutes, but they didn't say anything. For this, I was like, it's a walkthrough. I don't think they're going to be like, oh, you were late, so we're turning you away. So, and they didn't. They didn't even say anything. But it was definitely busy at Journey of Water.
Really? But when you did it? Okay. Was that because that was the second day that it was open, right?
Yeah, it was the second day of the soft open that they had, yeah. And it was busy. They also had the Moana meet and greet there, which our friend's daughter saw Moana and was like, oh, I want to meet Moana. And I was like, well, we're late for this. Can we do the Journey of Water first, and then we'll try to come back? And of course, by the time we finished Journey of Water, they had already cut off the line for Moana, and they were like, she's not going to meet anybody else today. So I kind of felt bummed about that.
So what did you think of Journey of Water itself? I'm curious.
I liked it a lot. I think it's a cool experience. There was a couple of things that I would go back and do again just because it's fun. There's a couple of things I enjoyed about it as an adult. The kids loved everything about it. Like, the kids wanted to stay. They loved, like, playing with all the different water features. The one thing I will say that, you know, some of the kids, there was, like, a lot of children there. And some kids got a little overeager with things. Like, they would try to climb over and grab stuff and whatever, like, you weren't supposed to do.
And it's like, wait, nobody was there to stop them?
No. There was a few, but it was crowded, like I said. So it's kind of like there's, you know, it's, I wonder what it's going to be like on a day-to-day basis going forward. I don't know how popular this is going to end up being overall, but it's very beautiful to look at. It wasn't like super easy to get through everything, but I really liked it. It's well done. There's lots of hidden details, which I liked. There was several characters I saw that were like hidden in the rocks, which was cool. There is a hidden Mickey that I heard about that I didn't find because I couldn't find the particular thing that it's on. I looked for it, but I couldn't find it, but I'll look for it next time. So that's cool. That's something to look forward to. But there was one feature that I really liked, which was you can control how high like a stream of, or jet of water goes, I guess, with your hands. If you're stepping on a certain area, it kind of, that's where the sensor is, and you can raise your hand and the water meets your hand at that level. It's
right.
That's my favorite.
One thing I'm curious about is the section, you know, where you walk under it and it's supposed to like stop.
Yes, that was my second
Did you test it?
Yes,
like,
I did.
Like, did you see how fast you could do it?
I have a video actually of my son doing it. And it's like a curtain of water with, you know, and the second you get like under it, it stops for that area. Like it knows where you're at and it'll stop. And I did not get wet.
My friend
did because he ran through it.
I was about to say, because if you run, I guarantee it didn't have enough time to stop.
Exactly. And he still got a little wet, but it did work still. It's just, you know, you can't
late reaction stop it that quickly.
Yeah. So, of course, he tried to run through it and got wet. But it was cool. Like, if you walk through it, it literally will stop as soon as you get to it, and you won't get wet. It's actually really neat. The other part the kids really liked was the musical part, which was kind of similar to how... Didn't Seven Dwarfs Mine Train have that in the queue at one point?
Yes.
So it was very similar to
that.
They
still do. You just very rarely walk the whole queue.
Okay, so I know they took some of those elements out of the queue, but I couldn't remember if that was one of them.
I don't know. Maybe they did. I thought it was still there.
It might still be, but yeah.
Anyway. It's just like, useful. I know a queue game that's definitely useless is that crab game in the Little Mermaid, because it's never busy enough for that to be a factor. I think it's probably only been since opening day.
Yeah. So that was cool. The Tafiti area, they had a PhotoPass photographer there, but the line was ridiculous. So I was like, okay, we're not doing that. So I just got some selfies with her in the background. Overall, it's great. It actually was kind of cool because we did the land right after we did Soarin' Over California, which was cool. And then we did the land, and it was like, it fit. It felt like, okay, we did Journey of Water, now we're doing the land, and we're learning.
Yeah, there you go. Know.
It actually kind of feels...
So you do get it.
I do like that you have Spaceship Earth, Journey of Water, and the land. It sort of feels... It's a bit of a classic Epcot feel because it tells you there's all these signs that tell you the different phases of water, and there's, you know, it's actually really cool.
It's funny you should say that, because I was just watching a vlogger earlier today that said it had a classic Epcot feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it does. That's what I like the most about it, is it's edutainment. It's
edutainment.
It's very educational, but it's actually really fun. The kids love it. I liked some of it. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and like want to play music with water all day, but the kids enjoyed it. I think we spent probably a good half hour in.
I was about to say, how long did it take? So, okay.
Probably a good half hour. I mean, but I don't think it was just because it was crowded that you kind of had to wait a few minutes here and there to move on to the next thing so that you could get a spot, but it wasn't too bad. Let me see if I can see, actually. But I'll post some pictures, obviously, on the Insta.
Is it one of those that would be much better probably on a particularly warm day, like maybe a day in July?
Actually, yeah, towards the end, yeah, there's that part where you can kind of conduct the water. There's like a whole row of where you can stand in these different spots and you can kind of control. And it does kind of, it can splash you. So there was a lot of places where you could definitely get wet from it, which I think was by design. And yeah, a lot of people were saying this would be great in July.
Okay. So, it's actually serving its purpose, I think they intended. So
my first picture was 10:33 a.m. And my last one, when we were about to leave, was 10:51. So we only spent about 20 minutes in there.
Okay.
I thought it was a little longer than that, but about 20 minutes.
That's kind of a good sign. You felt like you were spending more time than you were.
Yeah. So it took us about 20 minutes to walk through it. And I think we probably would have done it faster had it been less crowded, I would say. So maybe a 15, 20 minutes. But, anyway. So overall, it was fun. I don't know how much repeatability it's going to have over time, but it's still cool, and I'm just looking forward to the entire construction pit to be open. But anyway, that was kind of unexpected too. I actually thought we wouldn't get to do Journey of Water because it wouldn't officially be open.
Yeah, no, it came up while you were there.
Yeah, and you sent me the alert. I'm like, oh, I tried to actually join the virtual queue Friday because I was like, I'll park hop over there and do it. Right. But it wouldn't let me because you have to be physically in Epcot for it to work.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Because it's a quick turnaround, like I said. There was no difficulty getting that virtual queue at all. It was available, seemed like, just about all day. So
there you go.
Anywho, other highlights, of course, from the Epcot day were La Cava, of course. We had to stop there and saw our buddy Barbas.
That's your must-do for Epcot, right?
Yeah. I will not do Epcot on days that he's not working. Just because... No, I'm just kidding. No, but he's obviously one of the best things about La Cava, so it was great to see him again and get, you know, some of my favorites. I had the corn old fashioned. I got the top shelf, which are probably my top two favorites of the.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves seeing you guys come, so he has no problem.
Yeah, he does well.
I don't know if you're the most, but you got to be one of his highest paying, like your most profitable customers.
I'm sure there's more, but yes,
I know. More. But you got to be at least among the yeah. most.
Well,
for him,
yeah. So they had to go to Space 220. They had a dinner at Space 220, and we stayed longer. And I got a Barbas's sipper tequila, the one that he recommends. So if you sit down, you get a bigger menu. So there's the sippers that each one recommends, whatever. And so I got that one, which is a lovely one. And so we're feeling good. I think after that, they enjoyed Space 220. I need to ask them what their favorite dining experience was, because they did a lot of good ones. I forgot to ask them that, but I think that was it for that day. We were kind of wiped after that. And then, of course, the Animal Kingdom day, I mentioned how horrible the Genie Plus was, but in a way, it's probably the best park for that to happen, because as soon as it started working again, it's like, and then we got the free extra anytime pass, so we had no trouble getting through Animal Kingdom pretty easily. Flight of Passage, of course, was a big hit, as always it should be. Safari. Okay, so one thing I just wanted to mention about the Safari is we had a really good guide, and every time I've done Safari in this year, they're cracking jokes. Jungle Cruise.
Jungle Cruise on land.
Right. So I'm like, okay, so now all of a sudden this is a thing.
I guess.
All of them are doing it. And they're really good jokes, too. They're really funny.
They're more entertaining.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I like this.
I do, too, actually. It's like a live action version of the Jungle Cruise, I guess.
And he actually did a pretty cool callback where we did the...
Wilson Matua?
Almost. We did the drive past, like, where the elephant thing was. He was like, he was trying to make it seem like, oh, this is a detour. We don't go this way anymore. And then he was like, oh, this bridge, if you were here, like, 10 years ago, this bridge would, like, collapse on you. And he was like, anybody remember that? And I was like, I remember that.
Why did they take that part out?
I don't know. I guess because maybe maintenance or too many people got freaked out by it or something.
I mean, I guess I kind of understand the ending.
Yeah.
As to why they felt the need to change that, but why the bridge? I liked the original story in its entirety, truthfully.
Yeah.
But
because now you have that whole, like, ending area where they just have to fill time by saying, like, hey, thanks for joining us.
I can't even remember where the last scene was now. When I pass it, I can't see it.
I do remember the water area, like, where it's like you drive through the water. But that's like, they're just being like, hey, we'll see you next time when you're doing that now. Where it used to be, where you'd save.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I guess the area where the goats are now, that was part of it too.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But anyway. So I guess they've had to fill some of it, but
Anywho. I remember Little Red.
Yeah.
Doing his head.
Red too. Yeah.
Shaking him back, shaking his trunk back and forth, basically.
Right. Anyway, exactly. All right. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, you know, we did lots of it, Animal Kingdom. We did every lightning lane you could do there. And then we left, drove back home, and then they stayed another day, did Hollywood Studios. I helped them pull lightning lanes, and it was tough.
It's like your favorite pastime.
I mean, it's not anymore, because that was a rough day. I was able to get most everything, but like I said, Slinky was just not happening. It just was... The app was... That's the thing that bugs me is when you see a lightning lane, you click on it, and after a few magical touches, nothing happens. And it goes, it's not available. That happened to me... Like, I was trying to get a runaway railway, and six times there was a time, and I grabbed it, and after a few touches, not available. So I complained to Guest Experience about that via their chat feature.
And wait a minute, you're not even here.
Right, exactly. So, anyway, I complained at length about that. Because, you know, it's like, you know, a dining reservation now with the new way they book them. If you see a time available and you click on it, they hold it for you for 9 minutes, which is obviously way too long for a lightning lane, but they'll hold a dining reservation for you to let you complete the booking.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you just hold a lightning lane for five? If it shows up on my app as something I can book and I refreshed at the right time, can you just let me have it for 5 seconds to try and complete the booking instead of just letting it go to whoever has the fastest 5G whatever or Wi-Fi signal at the time? You know, it's like, can you do it that way? Because I felt like FastPass Plus was, if you saw a time and you clicked on it, you got it. Like, maybe I'm misremembering, but I don't remember FastPass Plus disappointing that often.
No, but it was a different, it was playing by a whole different set of rules. Yeah. So,
but I feel like they're just slapping code on top of code on top of code on top of code, and it's probably just...
It's pretty obviously based on the old system to some degree. It's probably
I feel like they resurrected some of it, but it's just so much slower. I don't know why.
The best thing they improved on recently is the dining reservations.
Yeah, like I was saying,
it's way better.
9 minutes to complete a dining reservation booking, because some of them now you have to pay in advance.
I just like the fact that you have the option of searching all day.
Yeah.
That's my favorite feature.
Instead of, hey, there's this time available, but it's like, if you search again and you see like other time, it's like, just give me everything that's available for this restaurant.
Right. It's like, I want to know what's available the whole day. I want to eat here. I don't care when it is.
Just show me what it is, not just one time. And then if you search again, oh, there's another time. Like, just give me everything. That's what I'm
asking. They might not have been able to do that before, honestly, though. They might not have been able to.
Right. But, for example, Space 220, our friends needed to modify that, and they were able to. But it's because if you see a time available and you click on it, you can hold it for 9 minutes. It lets you do it. Because, for Space 220, you have to pay in advance now. So, just like Cinderella's Royal Table,
you have to do that for Space 220?
Yeah, exactly. You have to pay it in advance. So, you need a few minutes to book that one, because you got to make sure.
That's why it's more available.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it should be, but it's not.
Well, it is more than it once was.
It is. But anyway, so please make that. You see a lightning lane, you grab it. You have at least enough time for them to add a few magical touches before you snatch it away, let someone snatch it away from me. that drove me insane. But anyway, I was able to get a few good mods for them, for like Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror and things like that. So they were able to get on just about everything, but they missed a couple. So the only individual Lightning Lane we didn't buy was Guardians, but instead we bought Tron. Tron actually broke down on us while we were in line, but then we just moved over to Space Mountain, and then by the time we were done Space Mountain, Tron was back up, and we just got back in the Lightning Lane line again. But anyway, a couple other footnotes for this trip report. While they were at California Grill, we went to Polynesian and hung out at Trader Sam's, Tiki Terrace, because we had the kids with us. So we hung out there, and that was amazing. The guy, the live performer, was amazing. He was doing like John Lennon songs, Paul McCartney songs, Rolling Stones. Like, he was like doing all the classics, and he was, you know, the Hawaiian versions of them. Guy was amazing. Of course, we ordered from Captain Cook's as well while we're sitting there for the kids. So it's one of my favorite spots on property, because you're out there, you're looking over the Seven Seas Lagoon. The only thing that would have made it better is if the electric water pageant started, but we were too early for that. So her favorites were Flight of Passage, Tron, and then she said she really also liked Rise of the Resistance. And her husband's was Guardians of Rock and Roller Coaster. So, and then of course their daughter said very somewhat versatile. Space Mountain was her. She said was her favorite, even though she, you know, if you
really
she was barely tall enough to ride Space Mountain, and afterwards she didn't love it. But I guess, you know, after a while you kind of are like, that was pretty cool. So that's her favorite now. Anyway. So I think that's going to do it for that all-in-all successful trip overall. Where can people find us?
Well, of course, we can always be found on Facebook. He's been using Brand X. Instagram. And you might can find us on YouTube as well. I mean, there's at least a few videos out there. And where else can you find? Oh, that's all at TWTM Podcast, by the way. Three that I mentioned, Facebook, X, and Instagram. And where else can you find us, Adam?
Our Spreadshirt store.
Oh, whoops, I forgot.
Shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTMPodcast. But also our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. And you can find links to that and more there. And our email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We have a travel agent friend you can use as well if you want assistance booking your next Disney trip. All that's on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. So, for John, my name is Adam. This is Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
I must be starting to get some old man tendencies, given that I'm on the brink of 45.
Oh, yeah.
Forgetting the lying.
Lying.